Hey friends, John and Amy here with our Daily Awakenings.
Yes.
This has been popping up lately even more, so some more clarity on really what it means to ascend in an effortless way. And so you know how we all try so hard in Christianity to be better, be good, you know, the right versus wrong, do the do's and the don'ts, and you know, follow this kind of formula,
or this program and
you'll, yeah, this program protocol, and you'll have these miracles happen, or you'll walk like Jesus did. But really, it's so easy that we miss it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were coming up with this analogy, was just coming up in us about, this is just one example. Look at the example of a hot air balloon. Okay. You know, in order for that to ascend, there's heat applied. And so I did a video on the end of effort experiment about embracing and allowing rather than forcing and pushing or creating some formula in order to see or ascend into love where all the miracles and effortless flow exists. And what happens is that we're put in situations and circumstances all throughout our day. Some, you know, we always talk about God, where are you? He is around us all day long, allowing these situations to come into our life, like somebody comes in and they're really irritating. Well, that's one example of how someone comes in to cultivate patience or long suffering in our life. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to get into this more in detail, but when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, this is ascension. And when we become the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit, this is where all the miraculous lives. This is what Jesus walked in the fullness. But you can't get there through self-effort. You can't get there through scripture memorization alone or praying your brains out or saying, I'm not going to set my eyes before this or that, although that's good. That's not how it is cultivated. How it's cultivated is by releasing and allowing. And so look at a hot air balloon. You ascend while the heat is applied. And when the heat is applied, you ascend. And then you were saying the sandbags drop off. So what happens is the heat of the irritant, whatever that may be, or that difficult situation in our life on a daily basis, is applied. And then if we're aware enough and we see what God is doing, this means I get to have more patience. Yay. Right. If we adopt that attitude, then the sandbags drop off and you ascend. It's effortless. Yeah.
The sandbags are like the ego of it's my way or the highway. It's sandbags. They're the resistance, right? They're the resistance that's keeping the
earthbound,
hot air balloon grounded and earthbound. Whereas the heat that comes on the scene, if we can receive everything as a gift, you'll realize that, yes, this is an ascension moment.
Yes.
If I can take the heat of this and allow it to cultivate patience or cultivate mercy or cultivate grace or just any of the fruits of self-control, boom, you just had an ascension moment.
Yeah.
And so you allowed the heat to ascend you. And you know, life is all in the meanings we attach to things. And again, we stay so earthbound, low frequency grounded when we keep resisting these daily cultivations in our life, thinking, oh, it's the enemy. Oh, that person has no right. It's like we have to stop and listen to ourselves. Is it the ego talking or is it the Spirit of God within us talking? You know?
Yeah, it's so easy. You guys, you know, we've mentioned this quite a bit, but it's a great reminder. It's so easy to cast blame or shift blame on some difficulty or adverse situation in our life as the devil. And so, you know, we feel something that's unsafe or we don't like something that rubs us the wrong way. And so it's real easy to start rebuking and start blaming and finger pointing. Well, my dad did this to me or the devil did this to me. Instead of saying, wait a minute, hold on. Maybe, just maybe, God is trying to get me what I've been asking for and the good things in life.
But it's not coming in the way we expected.
Yeah, it's not coming because we're not allowing the sandbags to drop and for us to ascend by the heat of life. And so...
So it's split energy. You've got double-mindedness going on. So it's like, why isn't this balloon going up? So then you turn up the heat even more on it, but it's still not ascending because you're still holding on to resistance and old belief patterns and all these things you're still hooked into that are keeping you grounded instead of releasing them. And
yeah, I tried it rebuking a sandbag.
Yeah.
It's like, rebuke the sandbag. I rebuke you, sandbag. And the sandbag's going to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like when you rebuke, you hold on. Because you're deflecting from the real issue at hand.
Yeah, you're not taking a look at yourself. As long as you have something to blame, then you're definitely not going to sin. You know, the Lord has just been so prominent in what he's been saying lately to us is, again, and several others, we've been hearing it come out of them too, is you have nothing to work on. There's nothing to fix. So in that meaning, right, you have nothing for your willpower to hook into and mold with your ego and work on and redoubling your efforts and all this kind of stuff. This is not how it works. But this is what society and the world tells you, right? The grind, harder work, you know, practice makes perfect. But you know what? It's a skewed concept, because if you keep practicing the same old thing that doesn't work, that's called insanity, right? You have to, you know, receive the true, pure wisdom of the way. And So the way is to release and receive. And this is how you go up in ascension. Release, receive, release, receive, release, receive, release,
how
receive.
How easy is that? But our ego wants to make it complicated.
Right. We want to work for something to obtain because we want to stay in control.
Oh, man. This is huge in the DIY tree. Listen to this. You guys, don't believe the rumors about the mirror translation. Read it for yourself and let God speak to you through there. Don't believe what people say about this. You know, we're in connection with this guy online that actually translated this.
Francois. Heart of gold.
And he's so in love with the Lord, but he's the one that actually translated the mirror. But anyway, listen to this in Galatians, starting in Galatians 5:17. This is so good as it pertains to what we're talking about. It says, while the law of works still features in your mind, it is a catalyst to disaster. You are caught in the middle of a war zone, wanting to do the things that you desire by design, but finding the flesh in strong resistance to what the spirit desires. The two trees, the flesh and the spirit, represent two opposing systems or forces of influence.
Yeah.
Two separate mindsets, while the tree of life represents the inner life of our design. The I am not tree, or what I call the DIY tree, is not the real you. Just like the flu. You can host the virus, but the flu is not you. Mm. Think about that. Paul compares the fruit of righteousness by faith working through love versus the works of the flesh and guilt performance based on obligation, guilt, and willpower.
Yeah, and how often do we self-guilt ourselves into things? I mean, wow, there's so much shame entangled in this way of doing things. It's like you shame yourself into obedience. You'll shame yourself into taking action, and it's not sustainable.
It's really not. And then we hear things like this in religion, whatever religion you're a part of, or Christianity, whatever it is that you, whatever denomination, think about these things. How often do you hear, well, you just need to pray more, or to renew your mind more, you need to memorize more scripture, you know, you need to fast more, you need to intercede more, you need to...
I know, it's exhausting.
Do all these things, right? Yeah. It's the do.
It's never enough. And that's the story of the ego. It is never enough. It's I could not. Always be better. I could always do this better. I could always get this down better. And you know, I battle with that a lot of times too, because they're just always trying to improve or try to do it, but not realizing it's still the ego, whether it's your regular ego or your spiritual ego, still trying to obtain something, where in the spirit and with God, it is all about receive. Again, it's receiving. And a good way to catch yourself, and John and I even caught ourselves, he caught me yesterday. You know, I was like, oh, if I could just get this down, or I just need to do this for my health to, you know. Whenever we're using these words, I just need to.
Should.
I should. Oh, I should have done this right. I should have done that right.
have to.
Then we're stuck in our ego where we caught ourselves yesterday and changed it to, I am healed. I am in well-being. I am. And you can feel the automatic just frequency shift and the well-being start flooding your system. And that's what God so wants. Because what is that? That's a statement of receiving. The I am statements are so powerful because they automatically put you into agreement and alignment with what the Lord says about you. It removes the resistance and the blockage and the cutoff branch syndrome. And you're connected back in receiving your sustenance and allowing.
In the tree of life.
Right. Allowing that to permeate
you. There's no work for us to do in the tree of life. Think about it. If you are a branch, which we are in reference to John 15, right? He is the nourishment of everything we become and are. And so even the awakening is his, quote, effort or nourishment, right? It's not ours.
Yeah.
It's just all we do as a branch to bear fruit is to receive the nourishment of the tree trunk.
And allow the expansion.
Yeah, and it's so easy. This is why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and it's light. So listen to this. He goes on here in Galatians 5, says, and remember, the war is over. It's already won. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities. Your victory rests in the triumph of Jesus. To be acquainted with the prompting of your spirit, faith is to be free from the law of personal performance. Man, personal performance. See, these are the formulas we create in religion and around ourselves. Well, if I just give that, you know, $500 offering the way they said for me to do, then I'll expect a $500 return. Or, you know, if I just do this to get a wife or a husband, if I just do this just right, if I'm just good enough, if I just become holy enough.
There it is again. If I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're looking for all. And here's the issue is most of us live in these lower planes of the 3D reality world around us.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the vibration and the frequency of that because it saturates society. They're all living in the fight or flight survival mentality. And so what do? We allow our energy to be absorbed into it without coming away from it in another dimension within us, right? The 4D and the 5D and so on. And then we allow it to influence our everyday walk and talk and everything. So if somebody in the world has a formula on YouTube on how to get skinny, how to get rich, then we're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And then we get frustrated because that's not how you ascend in the spirit. Isn't this the reality we all want, you guys, as believers? What we want is to become Christ-like without all the religion attached. And we want to see the miracles. We want to see the supernatural. We want to see things move and come into our existence effortlessly, don't we? Just like Jesus did. Well, think about his life and the struggles of Paul trying to allow himself to become like Christ. You can see the differentiation there. Where Paul said, the wretched man that I am, things I don't want to do, I do. Well, that's his ascension and his holding on. So it's like the balloon, hot air balloon in Paul. You can tell that struggle is there. The heat is applied, but yet Paul's struggling to let go of the sandbags because he was so trained in the law and he was conditioned by the law to apply a formula to it.
Or a force or charge, because that's right. What he did beforehand, right?
Exactly.
Going around, rallying, and getting cleansing the Christians of the land, you know?
Yeah, and it never works, you guys. It never works. So listen, read on here. The typical lifestyle, wherever a legalistic, judgmental attitude prevails, is one where sexual sins are rampant. Think about society again. Anything goes. Adultery, filth, and outrageous licentiousness. Then there is the worshiping of a distorted image of oneself, which is what idolatry is all about. Drugs, hatred, constant conflict, jealous suspicion, violent outbursts of rage, everyone for himself in a cutthroat competitive world. Jeez, we know this, right? Trampling on others to get to the top.
Yeah.
Dissension, heresy, and manipulating people's minds with false teachings. The flesh is not your, quote, lower nature. It is the fruit of the I am not tree system. It is a mindset governed by a sense of lack and desperately trying to do life by sheer willpower, independent of your source.
Cut off branch.
Man. Cut off
branch.
How often have we done this to ourselves?
And we're choosing it. We're choosing something that's indifferent from the way God said, this is the way. And he said, it is finished. On the cross, he's like, it is finished. The veil has been torn. But see, we've been so trained and taught in society that you have to work for something or earn something for reward. So we've got this reward-based thinking, and we're trying to apply that to the freely given gifts that God has given us and placed us in our right position. And so, you know, he's trying to get us to return to our original function as sons and daughters of the Most High. You know, we're kings and queens of hearts, you know, and you think about it. They don't have to slave and work. They receive, they give decrees, and things are put into action. It's the poverty mindset that sweats and toils and labors and is stingy and, you know, the dog-eat-dog mentality.
The DIY tree.
And striving for the first place position for rewards. And so this is what's being uprooted, you know. This is the lower planes that are falling off as we ascend.
And really, and we've spoken about this before, and so many people are now, the awakening is upon us. It's on humanity. So we're no longer looking for some kind of denominational awakening or religious awakening. That's not where we're at. Yeah, revival and all that. That's kind of the old patterns of the way that religion does these things. Although they were good, there was miracles and things that happened. But why did they quit? Well, it's because of this. Man put his DIY tree in there and said, hey, I'm going to control this. I'm going to profit off of this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this and that in the lower nature of things. So what's happening now is it's a global awakening of humanity to say, wait a minute, this DIY tree isn't working anymore. And everybody's looking at each other. Okay, what do we do?
Right.
The world is saying, what do we do? And the people that have gone on to move out of the 3D religious system and world, they're saying, okay, guys, hold on. We're anchoring the light ahead. And some people have ascended into 4D realities and 5D realities, which simply means it's a higher frequency of love. It's more of an energetic matter, moving from matter to energy or flesh to spirit. Mm-hmm. However you want to voice it or define it,
mm-hmm.
just look at it like that. Okay, so we're ascending because heaven's pressing into us. We're pressing into it. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. I have a choice to make here. It's not the devil causing all this chaos here because he's not as big as God, okay? And so what it is it's the purging and cleansing of the blockages so that we can hold more light, so that we can be containers of love, containers of light, aside from and away from this darkened understanding of the egoic tree,
mm-hmm.
the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right, that's brought a lot of chaos on the earth.
It has, and we're being purged of that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't and that an exciting thing?
Yeah, this is what's so amazing, is that because people are waking up. They've had enough. They've had enough, and they're like, we're in search of a far better way. And this is why, you know, God said, you'll be known that you belong to me by your love for one another and the love and the light. And the more, like John was saying, the more we can let go of these things. And again, it's not us trying to let go of them. It's just as we come in and we soak and we meditate and ascend, these things so naturally drop off. It's amazing. You won't have the cravings you used to have that you tried so hard to overcome in your own willpower.
The habits, the addictions, they all just fall off. And you're like, whoa, I don't have a desire for that anymore. And that goes right into more of this. So this is such a sad picture. He goes on in Galatians 5:21. This is such a sad picture of a life consumed with envious self-pity, murder, drunken stupor, intoxicated licentiousness and lust, with all the quarrels and jealousies it ignites. As I have stated before, those who are practicing this kind of life have nothing in common with the kingdom of God. Isn't that a different translation?
Or the kingdom of light.
See, religion translates that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They think that's about salvation. And really what it is it's a contrasting statement here. Here's the contrast between the two lifestyles, you guys, or the two frequencies, or mm-hmm. the two energies. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can give myself to one energy, or I can give myself to the other energy. And just like the hot air balloon, the only thing that's required for ascension so that we can enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God energy and spirit of things is to let go of the sandbags or that egoic lower nature kind of vibration that says, okay, let me participate like everybody else is doing in the world. But again, the more you meditate, the more you soak, like Amy said, the more these things just fall off like the sandbags on the hot air balloon easily. You don't have to sit there and kick them out of the basket.
Yeah, like you said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I mean, I don't even like the terms of that yoke and burden.
I know.
That was like, but just that back Roman then terms. Was just, you know, what they described the oxen and all those good things. But his ways are easy, you know. And his principles are light, you know. It's just, again, this is the stuff that's leaving us in our ego, is the wanting to control and earn and work hard for something to receive the star by our name and to, you know, all those kind of things, the reward-based system, instead of coming into our true identity as already seated with him, you know. But if you think about the ego, if it doesn't feel, because it's never enough and it doesn't feel worthy, then it's going to be working towards something. It's just kind of like, you know, we've all met these people. If they've got a low self-esteem about themselves and they don't feel worthy, and you try to give them a gift and you put a lot of thought into it and they reject it. And you're trying to tell them, no, look, this is how I feel about you. This is, you know, what I think about you. And but they won't let it in because they didn't work for it.
Oh, man. That is massive, massive, massive right there. Because they're so used to working for it all of their lives. That's what they're taught by dad, mom. Work hard.
And what's the underlining reason for that? Because they feel a sense and loss of control. They need to be in control at all times. And that's ego. I need to be in control at all times. If I receive something from somebody else that makes me too vulnerable, and I've lost control. So I have to always keep the cards in my hand, or I've got to play it. Or if they give me something, I got to pay them back really quick so that I can keep the fields even. And instead of just receiving.
And the rescue fix mentality, you know, guys always want to fix something, and women are usually the rescuers, but guys can certainly be that as well. But it goes on here. Here's the good stuff in Galatians.
Okay, so Galatians 5:22 in the mirror says, your spirit, and this is just, oh, so gold, your spirit effortlessly bears the rich harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, integrity, gentleness, self-control. Now think about that. Wow, what a contrast to religion, right? Religion's always teaching us to strive for these things, and you need to, you need more patience. You need to have more joy. You need more, you know, kindness.
Yeah, pray for these things, right? Pray for patience or something, you know.
But it says your spirit effortlessly bears the rich harvest. So a harvest is a byproduct, right? So what's underneath that? And it says all these individually reveal the irresistible attraction of the inner life of our design.
Man, that's such great verbiage right there. All the individually reveal the irresistible attraction. That's always, and that's also could be translated the non-resistant attraction of the inner life, because there's no resistance attached to it.
Yeah, think about a tree. You don't see a tree sweating to produce the fruit. It's plugged in And it's receiving all day long and expanding, allowing for the expansion as it receives and draws up from the source.
Yeah. And what, you know, we've owned our family has owned a blueberry farm. And I don't care if you stand out there all day long and you tell that branch to produce its own fruit. It's not going to. It's the nourishment of the trunk and the roots that actually cause that branch to produce the juicy blueberries or fruit. And oftentimes we, like Amy has said so many times, is like we act like the cutoff branch with our DIY system inside of us of working hard and sweating it out and creating formulas. And so we feel it's our job to produce the fruit and make it either good or bad, right? And we, in religion, does a pretty good job of telling us that we have to behave right. Don't do this, do that. And if you just become holy enough, you'll produce the right fruit kind of mentality, you know? And really, it doesn't come that way, guys. This is the effort of religion. It's the effort and sweat and toil of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember, this was the temptation, is to, when the serpent came, when the question came, in other words, has God really said to Eve and Adam, you know, has God really said that it's that easy? Think about this, you guys. In other words, you know, translate this a little bit. When that nature comes calling, that egoic side of the tree of knowledge in us, that conditioning, begins to question the ease and the effortless ability of the fruit of the Spirit, the flow of the Spirit, it will always question and said, and will say to us and ask the question, has God really said it's that easy? And then God, the tree of life, comes along and says, who told you? Who told you that you had to go it alone? Who told you that you're naked and had to go it alone? Who told you had to sweat and toil to get your substance? Who told you you had to get it that way? That I was withholding. Yeah. Who told you that the tree of life wasn't that good? Because you've experienced it all these eons before, but now you're going to question it because it was introduced as, and really that's what love does. Love does, though, it gives you a choice. Like, love wants to be chosen, in other words. Mm-hmm. So the tree of life wants to be chosen. That's what that was really about. It's like, okay, here's contrast. Now are you going to choose laborious sweat and toil in your own way, the DIY, or are you going to simply receive the nourishment of the tree of life and get everything you've ever wanted and then some? You know what, like I said before, when I let go of wanting a wife in the DIY system, I was trying to position myself and look good and sound spiritual and, you know, in front of all these Christians down at this volunteer place. And so, you know, be the good Christian man and these women will want you, kind of thing, you know? If I just jockey for position in front of them and get them to notice me, kind of thing, then I can make it happen, because he who finds a wife obtains favor from the Lord and finds a good thing. Well, that's my effort, right? That's what I thought at the time. And then this innocent little 19-year-old guy comes by that was full of the tree of life, comes by and says, are you sure you want to keep going down that path? Basically, you know, are you sure? And then I had to be faced with the differences between the trees. Like, I can keep going it and trying to make it happen, or I can let go and watch the tree of life provide. And that's exactly what I did. I let go and sunk into the tree of life, and boom, there's my wife in the tree herself. She wasn't in the DIY, because you let go of the DIY tree too.
Yeah.
And we met each other in an accelerated fashion.
Yeah.
Quantum leap.
Let go of the resistance. And the resistance is the ego. That's the resistance. That's what's always keeping you in resistance, because the ego is your thinking mind apart from God. It's detached. It's your reason and logic, you know. And where you're not hearing God's voice, because you're listening to a different radio signal of what the world's saying you should do, of what your upbringing's saying you should do, of what your own willpower's saying you should do. versus, yeah. So there's no room to let the Lord in there.
I know.
So the notes on this are so good that follow right after verse 22. It says, they are not fading, fragile emotions produced by willpower, the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Because a lot of times we're like, well, how? I've tried. How do I get the fruit of the Spirit?
Exactly.
Well, it's not produced by your willpower. This is the fruit of what you know in your spirit to be true about you. Fruit is the effortless, spontaneous, so that means you can't predict it, right? Spontaneous expression of the character of the tree. Rest in the awareness and assurance of who you really are. Look at that. Rest. Whoa. That's like, you know, fingers crossed with the ego will get, what? Rest? You don't get anything done if you rest. What do you mean rest?
Yeah.
But rest is the awareness and assurance of who you really are. Ooh. Yeah.
No, this is so good, you guys. Going back to this again. Look at your daily life, okay? Do you have an irritant as a husband or a wife or a child that's driving you up the wall? Look at your life, okay? And if you continue to fight against their behavior or their patterns, right? It just begins to compound in the tree of knowledge, right? The conditioning gets worse, in other words. But this right here, rest in the awareness. When you're aware, there's a rest knowing that, wait a minute, this heat is causing me to ascend. If you just become aware and rest in the awareness, then you'll see clearly, wait a minute, my child acting up right now? Ooh, this is a wonderful opportunity to drop sandbags, not on his head, but drop sandbags so that the heat of that moment of your child acting that way can cause you to ascend into the 4D, 5D, and on up into the reality of pure agape. Remember Jesus, what's coming to mind is what it was through suffering that he learned ascension. Okay? He learned the ways of ascension through suffering. And there is so much truth to that because we suffer on a daily basis every way we turn. People honking at you. You know, my test has been that very thing. Like, why are you honking at me when I'm just driving down the street here and I'm not driving fast enough for you? So see, I didn't rest in the fact that, wait a minute, ooh, that honk is an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that honk is an opportunity for Johnny Boy to become more patient so I can ascend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, Graham Cook a long time ago talked about fruit, you know, fruit only grows in stinky, stinky fertilizer soil. And, you know, a lot of times these situations that are, you know, frustrating, stinky, whatever, it's the fertilization for you to actually grow. It's the express way if you take it. Otherwise, you go, you know, round the mountain again on that. But, you know, here's the amazing thing is we're all learning to not try to fix things with matter versus matter.
Yes.
You know, in our own effort, you know, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, whatever. It's just when we, you know, we can take the choice to ascend. But it comes so easy when you're actually soaking and meditating and really making that a priority on your life. And here's the amazing thing is the grace is released. You're going to have a completely different outcome on your day if you prioritize meditating and soaking versus saying, I don't have time to do that. And what's the point? My mind just chatters away anyway, so it's not working. No, it's working because by your alignment with your spirit, you're opening a floodgate for things to just start changing around you. It's not about always feeling. It's about the faith in choosing. And I was seeing an illustration how, say you have this big ice cube and you plot it down on the soil and the sun is beaming. And so as it sits in the sun, it melts and creates these different waterways in the dirt. The dirt moves out of the way. Things begin to shift and move as the form of the ice cube now transfers into the water. And things are moving. Components are moving around it. And this is what happens as we sit in the sun of God. We take on a different form. We become fluid in our own life, and things begin to move and shift around us that we don't have to try and make happen in our rigid, hard-headed, icy way. You know?
So good. That's awesome illustration, because we're made of mostly water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And water carries frequency.
It does. I mean,
you look at the science on it, it's mind-blowing. And it carries a frequency of all those things. So anyway.
This one, 5:23, just to kind of wrap it up here, of Galatians 5:23. Legalism can neither match nor contradict this. There is no law against love. Love does not compete with law. Love is extravagant in its exhibition of the Christ life.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, there's no need for laws. Laws are invented when there's a lack of love.
You know? It goes on one more.
Yeah.
Those who understand that their righteousness is of Christ and that it does not come as a reward there for their ability to keep the law have discovered that their flesh with its dictates and lust were co-crucified with Christ. Because faith defines us and not flesh, we take our lead from the Spirit in our daily conduct.
Yes, there you go.
There is an authority in our step. We are marching in rank like soldiers. The Christ life is the dominant authority in the universe.
Not a bunch of rigid laws.
Exactly.
It's a daily ebb and flow with Him, moved by love.
Yeah, right at the end of Galatians, quit your efforts to try and impress one another. The law of works reduces your life to envious comparison and petty competition. Wow. While love only always seeks the advantage of the other, this means total freedom from any external law. So good, you guys. And it's all right there, but it's the mirror just brings it out in a more beautiful way to where say, okay, wait. Well, this really is beginning to sink in. And if you look at it aside from religion, see, this is the issue. I wrote an article about this thing, about being in and under a system. So it's like anything. If you're saturated in a society or a system or an institution, and you're conditioned by that on a daily basis, like your job, relationships, you know, that can become an institution of marriage rather than a relational thing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. The institution of marriage. Okay. That sounds so impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
And the institution of religion. Think about it. If you're saturated and conditioned by that, you can't see these things as clearly as they're being conveyed in an effortless way. It's always about the competition. Look how much comparison goes on in church. Oh, I wish I could sing like her.
Or fighting for the very few positions that are there. For the worship leader,
right,
or the assistant pastor.
Oh, my goodness.
Head daycare person, or the, you know, just
right.
The secretary.
It's such small thinking, you guys.
Oh,
when Christ so loved the world, you know, God so loved the world, the entirety of humanity, it's a big world out there.
Yeah, and this is why it's just, this is so refreshing, isn't it, you guys? It says, because faith defines us and not our flesh, we take our lead from the Spirit in our daily conduct. Daily conduct. You don't have to, you know, wait for pastor's permission or wait for all these different things. You're being led daily by
daily. God's interacting with you.
By your relationship with Him.
Yeah, it's the ego that causes this mentality of separation that says, God, where are you? God, where are you? I can't see you. I can't feel you. I can't hear you.
And your beliefs in saying that I can't hear you. I can't hear you. If you change that to I can hear you, you'll start hearing them really easy.
Yeah.
It's words.
The 3D separated world that separates and segregates that says I can't hear God when He's actually interacting with us every moment of the day in these ways. This is why awareness is so key. And we only become aware by meditating, sitting, and soaking and receiving, not asking a laundry list
Or
begging of things. Oh, God, man. Do this for my family. Do this for my friends. Get me out of this job. God, buy me a house. You know, all these He already knows those things before we ask. Try doing the opposite.
Yes.
Just receive and watch what starts to happen in ascension and watch what comes into your life.
That's right. As a man thinketh, so is he. And, you know, ask and you shall receive. Believe he's that good, like a little child.
And, yeah, and the asking is...
things ready to receive it.
Yeah, and the asking is simply presenting, really. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, that is our
yep,
it's, daily awakenings for the morning.
It's Amy's birthday today, so we're celebrating
March 12th.
Her life, March 12th. And yeah, anyways, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate you. We love the encouraging feedback. If you want to leave a comment, that's great. It's so encouraging, especially when you're talking about things that not a lot of the mainstream is. And it's just super encouraging when you do leave positive comments and things. So
that's right, we're all on the journey together. So love you guys, have a wonderful day, and
yes,
we'll talk again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.